Welcome. Today's podcast is being recorded at the Society for Community Research and Action's biennial conference in Ottawa. For the first time, the Global Alliance for Behavioral Health and Social Justice is partnering with the Society to host the conference, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get some time with one of our presenters, Maria Pacheco, founder and president of WACAMI, a community development organization in Guatemala. Maria, I was wondering if you could tell us, you're a biologist by training, so how did you come to start a community development organization?
Yeah, as a biologist, I was really passionate about the ecosystems, and that's how I met communities in trying to, you know, recover forests, recover rivers. But the communities in the villages, the war had been really hard, and then after the war, there was a lot of poverty, and the people said, you know, Maria, we can't take care of the earth if we can't take care of our families. So what we really need is for you to go and sell what we produce. So that's how we got started, seeing, you know, so what do you produce? What can we sell to the global market? But that has been, you know, changing until it got us to develop WACAMI as a brand of products that goes to the global market.
So tell us a little bit about some of the villages that you've worked in and how you've kind of come to determine what products to take to market.
Well, the first thing that we always do is, you know, we go to the villages in Guatemala. I mean, people have different skills, and we see what their skills are. But first is like, what are the, we work mostly with women. So we go and say, you know, what are your dreams? What do you want? And when the dreams have to do with, oh, I want a source of income because I want to, you know, feed my children, I want to educate them, we say, okay, then we have something in common. So with WACAMI at the beginning, like I said, we were selling all kinds of products from the villages, but it was really hard, you know, soaps and baskets and this, and it was hard. We could sell them in the local market, but it was hard to go to the global market. So then we realized, okay, what? So we decided to create a brand and say what product really sells well in the world. And then we saw the handmade fashion accessory. It's something that, you know, it's transported very easily. You can ship it very easily. The people in the villages come back and forth with the products, and it's easy. So that's what we started to make handmade fashion accessories in the villages, but designed for, you know, what the world wants now. So it's a mix between what are the fashion trends and what can the village people make, and we design products that bring those two worlds together.
So tell us a little bit about the mission of the organization, because you founded two. There's two different, there's the community development organization, NGO side, and then there's the business side. Yeah. How did that come about?
Yeah, because what we realize is like everybody has dreams, right? But in these communities, what we don't have are opportunities. So, you know, our formula for change is dreams plus opportunity equals change. But we realized that, you know, if the people wanted to connect to global market, we needed two different dynamics. One was to be able to say, okay, you know, we need to open, like I say, the access to the markets. But then on the community side, we need to train the people, you know, how do you set up a business? How do you compliance? How do you do quality control? How do you pay taxes? How do you do all this stuff? So we realized it was two different dynamics. So then the WACAMI Foundation, what it does is it's really trains the people. It gets groups of people that have a dream of having an income, transforms them into formal businesses. And that's a two-year methodology with a local trainer that speaks the local language and goes twice a week to the group. And then we said, okay, once the group is ready, although it takes 2 years for the training, within the fourth month, they're making the first bracelets that have good quality. So then, you know, the social business buys from them and exports to the world, creating the income. And once the women have the income, then we bring, because there's lack of government services in the villages, we invite NGOs and social businesses that have water filters, that have smokeless stoves, that have solar energy. And then the women are educated in terms of, you know, what do you need to grow up, to have a healthy home? What do you need for a kid to grow well nutritionally? And then with that education, they can then decide what to invest in. If it's a filter, if it's a stove, if it's a 1,000-day window for nutrition, that's a big issue in Guatemala, 50% of children with chronic malnutrition. So the women become the agents of change with income and education, which is something they lacked when they were young girls, right?
Right, and you mentioned going to the villages. About how many villages do you work in now, and what are the, you mentioned doing training in their language, what are some of the language issues that you encounter in working in Guatemala?
Yeah, we're working right now with 20 villages, it's 500 women, and it's groups of like 20, between 15 to 30 women in each village. And like we said, in Guatemala, we have, I think, 22 or 23 different Mayan languages. Spanish is the official one, but mostly the women don't speak that. So for us, what we do is we hire trainers from the village and train them in the methodology to incubate the business, because that's easier than trying to learn one of these languages, right?
Right.
So we have in Huacami, I think, 7 or 8 different Mayan language speaking groups. So that becomes a challenge, but it's easily solved when you really empower the local people to do the training.
So tell me a little bit about some of the lessons that you've learned. This has not been an overnight process, right? This has been something that has evolved over 25 years of trying, experimenting, learning, failing, yeah. Trying again. So for people, out there who are interested in doing community development work, particularly those who are coming from a community psychology perspective and really wanting to engage the community and involve the community in the effort, what are some of the things you've learned from your experience?
Well, the first thing is, like I said, I was interested in ecosystems, and people said, no, that's not what we need. So I think the first step is always, going there and seeing what the communities want, what their needs are, and which opportunities, we bring to their dreams and to their challenges, not the other way around, saying, I think you guys should do that. So that's why we say the communities don't need to then, take over the project. It starts with their dreams, and that's a foundation. And also with their fears, because I think these women, a lot of them said, oh God, we've never, we're asked what our dreams are. We just are expected to do stuff. So I think once you focus on their dreams and they connect to that and they know that they're going to be doing hard stuff, but there's a dream that moves them. And also, I think, see what their fears are with poverty. And I think women, there are women that are expected to be in the kitchen, never go out. And the bad thing about poverty is that you think it's your fault, right? Or you think, what did I do wrong? But when they see other women that have fears, when they see that I have the same fears, then it's like, okay, I'm normal. And, just the dream has to be a little bit bigger than the fears, so we move through that. So the lessons that we have learned is, like I say, really everybody in Huacami, we believe everybody has a talent. All you need to do is bring an opportunity. And and some people would take it and others won't, because it's hard to go out of your comfort zone. But that's one of the things we've learned. We've really learned that markets are a powerful source of transformation. In our countries where there's no income and people feel worthless, once they have an income, that's a very powerful tool of transformation. And markets that we were saying yesterday, that value ancestral cultures, that value the ecosystem, that bring new people into the value chains, I think that's how you can really transform one family, one village, one country at a time. The other thing we learned, because we work with forestry, with men and other groups, is that really when the income goes to the women, the families transform really fast, because then she will prioritize nutrition and education for her family and her home. And those are the main problems of Guatemala, only 4 out of 10 kids going to school and 50% of children with malnutrition. All of a sudden these women have power, have income. That's the first thing they will change. So really the power of women, and then, because women start having a voice, what we have seen is that domestic violence decreases, the husband starts appreciating her more, the family appreciates her more. So it really brings them to a level of, I wouldn't say equality, but to a level where they think, oh, I'm worth something. With my hands, I am changing my family, and I'm supporting my husband, and all of a sudden we're a couple instead of, him having to drag the whole family. And then the other thing that we also learned is the power of dreams and the power of healing, because we work with communities where they had been in a war for 36 years, and then after the war there was a lot of poverty, there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of, I can't do this, I'm not able to. So part of what we do is really the power of dreams makes people look forward, but the power of healing makes them having to stop to look back so much, so when you acknowledge the pain, that there's a historic thing that has happened, that starts relieving something. And then so the power of dreams and the power of healing are things that allow us to really touch the hearts of the people first. We realized earlier on that you can't come in with all this, let's do this, let's set up a business, let's be competitive, when people are hurt and are just need kind of that nourishment before. So we do workshops on dreams and fears, but also one thing we do is we bring them to see other women like them that already are successful. You know, because maybe, you know, they see me and say, oh yeah, Maria, you know, she's from the cities, everything's given to her, you know, which is not the case. But when they see another indigenous woman that didn't go to school, that doesn't read and write, that hardly speaks Spanish, and is a very successful woman, that, you know, they say, wow, we can do that. So those are some of the lessons that we learned. And at the end, I think the biggest lesson is, you know, with Wakami, we export products to the world. And, you know, when people want to help and they like the products, but, you know, the bracelets became invitations to come to Guatemala. And when the people come, they're so transformed too, because I think these communities give them a sense of purpose, a sense of perspective too. Like somebody was saying yesterday, God, those Guatemalan women are brave, powerful women, you know, then in spite of everything. So that inspiration is what also transforms the people that come to Guatemala. So that's why we say that the vision of Wakami is a world where prosperity, purpose, and hope are there for everyone. Because, yeah, prosperity is what we need in our countries, but a sense of purpose is what sometimes we need in other parts of the world. And that creates hope. In a world like today, I think being able to find spaces where you can make a difference, where there is hope, where we learn how to work together, and where everybody at the table has a talent. You know, the communities have talent. As a team, Wakami team, we have talent. You know, we're meeting with different people like you guys that are experts on, you know, community health and other things. So everybody brings the talents, and we're all worth the same, just doing different things to create a collective change.
So how do people become part of the community of Wakami?
So right now we're really happy. We just launched our website, wakamiglobal.com. And so there, you know, you can see the products, you can read about us. There's also a place where you can become a tribe member. So that, I would say, that's the easiest place to go, wakamiglobal.com. And we're also Wakami Global on Facebook. So that's where, you know, you can write to us, you can see the stories, you can see the products. And invite, you know, Wakami is an invitation. We always say that individual dreams are strong, collective dreams are unstoppable. So we want to create a community of people that dream, that, you know, together we can make a difference so that the people of the world are happy and the earth is also well taken care of and happy.
Maria, we thank you so much for your time, and for our listeners out there, that's Wakami Global, WakamiGlobal.com, or you can learn more about Wakami Global on our website at bhjustice.org. Thanks for listening.